Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the finest gospel station on the internet, the Love Lift Me Up Show. Hallelujah. Giving Jesus all the praise. Featuring gospel artists, authors, teachers, writers, actresses, actors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the host of the show, Dr. Elfrida Love, and the star of the show, the one and only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the AlfredaLoveShow.com, StellarGospelMusic.com, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host this evening, Dr. Alfreda Love, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am so excited and delighted on this evening that we're going to have a very special guest, an NFL player on the AlfredaLoveShow.com, StellarGospelMusic.com. And we're just going to have a good time because we're going to learn a little bit more about the NFL, and we're going to learn about Mr. Ben Troop. But, of course, we have to do things decent and in order. So we're going to, first of all, start out by reading, amen, Psalm 136, Numbers 1 through 9. I'm going to give you time to turn. Psalm 136, Numbers 1 through 9. And it reads, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. His love endures forever. Who made the great lights. His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day. His love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night. His love endures forever." I have read to you Psalm 136, Numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. Listen, listen, listen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the great news. We thank you for the victory. We thank you for everything you're going to do, the things you've already done, Lord, and the things you're going to do in the future. We just say thank you. Lord Jesus, we ask in the name of Jesus, would you continue to help us, Heavenly Father, to magnify, to edify who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for being the God that you are in our lives. We ask we continue to be your people and do your holy and righteous will, Lord. We ask that you continue to shower down upon us and help us to understand better by and by, Heavenly Father, how to serve and how to worship you. Now, Lord, we ask that you bless this particular ministry, bless each person who comes on, bless those who are going to listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. I want to thank my family and my friends. I want to thank my co-hosts and each and every one of you for tuning in to the AlfredaLoveShow.com, StellarGospelMusic.com, where Jesus shines with love. Amen. And we're getting ready to call Mr. Ben Troop. I want to give you a little background about Mr. Ben Troop. Mr. Ben Troop was born in Swainsboro, Georgia, in 1982. He attended Butler High School in Augusta, Georgia. As a senior Gator, the team captain in 2003, Troop was a first-team A selection, and he received his first-team All-American honors from ESPN. You heard me right, ESPN. In 2004, Mr. Troop was an NFL draft pick, and the Tennessee Titans selected Troop in the second round. He played tight end for the Titans from 2004 to 2007. And you may finish reading his biography, but I want to go ahead and call Mr. Troop so that you can hear from Mr. Troop and understand everything about NFL and understand some more information about obstacles and how to overcome obstacles. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to call Mr. Ben Troop. Be sure to look him up on Facebook. Be sure to read more about him because he is doing some great things. Amen? Amen. Just a second. And you're listening to the AlfredaLoveShow.com, StellarGospelMusic.com, where Jesus shines with love.
Hello?
Hello, may I speak to Mr. Ben Troop?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Mr. Ben. This is Alfreda Love from the AlfredaLoveShow.com. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good.
All right. Do you mind if I ask you a couple of questions concerning your career and just life in general?
Of course, of course.
Okay. The first question is, what obstacles did you have to overcome to achieve any level of success that you have achieved?
Just fear of failure. I mean, just like with any athlete or anybody trying to do anything, I mean, the fear of failing actually was something that kind of, you know, was holding me back until I realized that, I mean, I'm not going to be able to achieve anything until I'm able to look past the fact that I might fail, but I also might succeed as well. So once I got past that, I mean, it was easy to make transitions.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And I think fear is a huge factor. And once you learn how to overcome that, just like you said, you will be successful. That's good. Okay. Now, in your career, who is your most biggest influence and why?
Definitely my mother and father. I always felt as though I've always had two people in my life that always pushed me towards what I wanted to do, not what they wanted for me, but they wanted what I wanted for myself. And, you know, looking back on it, when I think about it, I had dreams when I was a child. And the only person that could really kill my dreams was my mother and father. They never done that. They always pushed me towards, you know, what I, even to this current day. So because, you know, when I came to the most, you know, influential people in my life and I told them what I wanted and they told me that I could do it, I think that's the key factor as to why I'm able to do what I've done and how I'm able to do what I'm doing now.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay, now we know that, of course, you know, you play football and you do many things, but what is your true passion in life?
My true passion in life is speaking, and my true purpose, which goes along with that, is serving. I feel as though in this lifetime, you know, it's not who you say it to, it's that you say it to them. And you know, what I say to somebody could be the difference. Something they hear me say could be the difference in them making it or not making it, pursuing something or not pursuing something. And the fact that, you know, I just feel as though my passion is to be able to serve people in any capacity. You know, whenever I get to speak, I get a chance to, you know, actually live out my passion and my purpose all at the same time. So I definitely know that, you know, my purpose is speaking and my passion is serving. And, you know, I hope to be able to do that as much as possible.
That's good. Now, speaking of serving, in your lifetime, what do you hope to accomplish, and how do you hope to make this accomplishment?
I hope to accomplish the fact that people see possibilities when they see me. They see me and understand that not that because I do it they can do it, but the fact that they say, here's a guy who, you know, he's coming from a difficult background. He's coming from a small town, but he didn't let that hold him back. I want to accomplish the fact that while we are products of our environments, we ain't finished products because, you know, and to achieve the American dream, you know, I'm an ordinary man. I just live an extraordinary life. I think everybody wants that. I think we're just ordinary people, but we want our lives to be extraordinary. And I just hope that, you know, when my life is over or as they see my life, you know, unfold, they say, look at this ordinary dude right here, man. But the life around him or the life he gets to live is extraordinary. So I hope that, you know, I'm able to achieve that level of success that people that can, you know, they can definitely look to me and say, he's a person that I can lean on because he looks like me, sounds like me, he is me.
Oh, that's good. That's good. A mirror image of who individuals look up to be. That is excellent. Now, you have been blessed to achieve many awards. I mean, you're doing great. You're a great speaker. You deal with our youth and the community. But what are you most proud of and why?
What I'm most proud of the most has to be just not giving in to the mediocrity. Like a lot of times we accept like average. I accept, well, this is how my life is going to be, and I'm just going to take life as it comes. My biggest, you know, what I'm most proud of is the fact that I didn't settle. I didn't settle for what somebody told me I couldn't do. I didn't settle for the fact that, well, Ben, you've done this, so you should be happy, or you've done that. I said, listen, man, I thank God for it, but I'm looking forward to what's next. I mean, my biggest thing that I'm most proud of is I'm looking forward to what's next because, you know, I'm 34 years old, man. I had somebody tell me, don't die at 20, but live to be 100.
That's right.
You know, I don't want to die early, but live to be old. I want to enjoy my life and to really just understand that whatever comes, I can handle it. However things are thrown at me, I can handle it because I want to get to the end of my life with no regrets, man. I mean, I really hope that when I'm on, if I'm on a, you know, a breathing machine, that I can look at that doctor and say, hey, man, I don't want that breathing machine. If it's time for me to go, I'm ready to go.
That's right. That's right. good. Okay. So who is this superstar NFL Ben Troupe journey? What is this about? What is the journey about?
The journey is about giving hope to the hopeless, you know, being able to shine a light in the dark place for these young people, letting these young people know that they matter right here, right now, that I don't have to become this to be that. I don't have to have a certain amount of money in the bank. I don't have to have celebrity behind my name to be this. I've been blessed to be able to do what I've always wanted to do, and to understand that too much is given, much is required. So the journey is about, you know, what we learn along the way. It's never, ever about the destination. It's never, ever about arriving. It's about being able to go on this journey, and whatever happens, I want it to happen. And I know that I can overcome it. I'm not looking for no shortcuts. I'm not looking for no handouts. I'm not looking for no sympathy. Whatever is needed on my journey, I want it. And because I don't become who I become without it. And the journey is far greater than the destination, and really just embracing it, embracing everything that comes along with it, because I understand that my dreams don't have to be believed by nobody but me. It's my dream. People don't have to believe in it. But if it's something that I really want, I'm willing to look like a fool to get it.
Oh, that's good. I like that. We're on the same page. That is excellent. All right. Now, I'm able to see a lot of youth, and I hear a lot of youth speaking about, you know, you ask a youth, especially a male, what do you want to be when you grow up? They said, I want to be a football player. I want to be a basketball player. But what would you tell aspiring young men who dream to play football?
I would tell them, know why you play. Not that you want to play, but why do you play? Like, what is your end game? Like, why do you play football? I mean, I played football because it was, you know, it's the one place that everything I did mattered. From my work ethic to, you know, being a team player to buying into the coaching staff to my teammates, and it taught me, you know, like football for me was a classroom without walls. I learned so much about myself and endurance and not giving up or giving in, bending but not breaking. So I would always ask, do you want to play football because of what comes with it, or do you want to play football because football could be your vehicle for the rest of your life? If it's a vehicle that you're going to use to prepare you to what you ultimately want to be, I say go for it. But if you want to play football because people may want to sign an autograph or your name might be in the limelight, I think that's for superficial reasons. And I always tell people, man, football is not something that can sustain you. You're looking for sustainability, and that's what football is for you. Go for it.
That's good. That's good. Okay. What type of projects do you have currently that's in process or that you're working on?
Well, I'm definitely going to be working on a book here real soon. I mean, I don't have a title for it or anything, but it's definitely something that I want to be able to give to the world. I think it's important that I be able to share my thoughts with the world, because I never know who I'm inspiring. And outside of that, I'm really looking to partner with, you know, a lot of youth organizations, because I know that collaboration is the way. And a lot of times, when you're looking at former athletes, you know, it's not that people don't want to collaborate with us. We don't have a vision. It's like I want to bring something to the table. I don't want to just sit down at the table. Okay. I want to bring some input. I want to bring some insight. And hopefully, you know, once they see, these young people see that we as adults, we can have discussions and we can get along and we don't care about who gets the glory, I think that, you know, the sky's the limit.
That's right. That's right. Now, is there anything else you would like to say that has not been said? For instance, if you have, you know, any events coming up, or, you know, if your website, anything that you have to say that we didn't mention?
I definitely go to BenTroupe84.com. You can follow me on Twitter at BenTroupePro. You can also follow me on Instagram at BenTroupe84. But, I mean, the biggest thing is, you know, I'm just a humble man. I'm an easygoing individual. But, you know, like I say, I'm an ordinary man that live an extraordinary life, because to me that is the American dream. Ordinary people walking around this, you know, this land, but they get to live an extraordinary life. And to anybody that's listening, anybody who's going to listen, don't let nobody tell you that you can't do something. If somebody tell you that they can't do something, they telling you what they inadequate at, not what you inadequate at. Don't let nobody, because it comes down to, it's not what people call you, it's what you answer to. You got to know what to answer to. And, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, to be, you know, in front of as many people that have me. I mean, I enjoy speaking. I enjoy serving people. And like I say, man, I think the rest of my life, even though I've been successful athletically, I think that the rest of my life is gonna be it's gonna far exceed anything and everything I've done, you know, professional athlete wise.
Oh, that's great. Now, I have to ask you this question. Can you tell our young people the importance of receiving an education? Now, you was very blessed because you lived the American dream. You received your education. You graduated. You're doing well. You excelled. You made it. Can you tell individuals the importance of an education just in general?
I think it's the most powerful weapon they have. The most powerful thing you can have and one thing they can't take away from you is your education, because what happens is the world comes at you based off what you don't know. It don't come at you based off what you do know. And a lot of times, the reason why they don't think that education is valuable is because a lot of times, the people that are most important to them, that are most influential, they don't value education. So they're not going to value it either. But I say, you don't want to get to a point in your life that you don't meet certain requirements or you don't feel as though you have the know-how. I always say the difference in the education is without an education, you can get a job. With an education, you can have a career, and you're looking for something that you can do for the rest of your life based off the education that you receive. But I think I always say your education is a direct reflection of you. That is you. That is the one thing that people can look at you and say, man, this person right here, you know, they taking their life seriously. Education means I'm taking my life seriously. I'm not waiting on somebody to do it for me. I'm going to do it for myself. So I just think that once they realize it's a powerful weapon that they can use, that can take them, you know, that can help decide the rest of their lives, I think that, you know, they'll start looking at it differently, because like I say, people they don't take it serious because they just feel as though it's something to do until they out there in the world as adults and they realize, man, I don't really have a lot of options, which is what your education gives you. It gives you options.
That's right. Wow, that is excellent. So, once again, is there anything else you would like to add before we conclude this interview?
Man, just be uncommon. You know, don't look to be like nobody else. There's so many people that are the same. You know, that's why they don't stand out. You stand out when you're different. You know, I would always say whatever you resist it persists, and whatever that thing is in your life that you are afraid to do, that's what you need to attack. Whatever you feel as though, well, what if I don't make it? I always say this. You go through all you go through, your work ethic, your discipline, you know, you're doing everything you're supposed to do. And I know they say, well, Ben, what if I do all that and I don't make it? I look at them and say, what if you do?
That's right.
Only one way to know, you got to go out there and put forth the effort. And if you fall on your face, guess what? You're farther along than you were before you started anyway. So pick yourself up and try it again. I would say just keep moving. No matter what is said or done to you, man, just find a way to get up, brush yourself off, and keep going.
That's right. Well, Mr. Ben, I really thank you for your time. I know that you have many things to do, and please thank Ms. Lynn for me and let her know that I'm going to contact her so we can put on some workshops for our youth in this community, okay?
Well, I appreciate you having me, man. Anytime you want to, you know, interview, I'm here. I mean, because like I say, you doing me the favor. You giving me the platform for my voice to be heard, for people to know who I am and what I'm trying to do. So I'm humbled by it, and I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and you have a blessed evening.
You too.
All right, take care. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Ben Troop from Georgia. Amen, Mr. Ben Troop from Georgia. And some of the high points that I really want our youth to take away from this is that we always must have a purpose of serving. When we learn how to serve, even Dr. Martin Luther King said that. He says, you don't have to be like Einstein to serve. He says anybody can serve. And when we serve, and our Lord and Savior and Jehovah sees us serving genuinely, not just because we want God to see us serving, but when we do it genuinely, we're blessed specifically. He says he will open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing where we won't have enough room to receive. And so we must continue to serve. That is the most important thing. And we talked about education. Education is very important. He says education defines us, who we are. That's how education is. As far as when we talk about the NFL and things of that nature, those individuals who want to go to the NFL, well, you have to receive an education. You have to go to class. You have to be respectful. You have to do what you're supposed to do, right? No one's perfect. But we serve a perfect God. Amen? And so we must continue to walk in the will of God. I want to thank each and every one of you for taking out your evening to listen to this ministry at freedomloveshow.com, stellargospelmusic.com, and please be sure to follow Mr. Ben Troop from Georgia. He was a former NFL player. Now he has his own speaking platform, so he speaks around the country. We're going to also do some projects here in the Central Texas area with a couple of NFL players as well that we've networked with, so please be sure to stay tuned for that. I have a few announcements, and then I'm going to bid you a great evening. Be sure to continue to uplift your family and your friends by telling them, asking them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedomlove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Or you can go to AfridaLoveShow.com, AfridaLoveShow.com, or StellarGospelMusic.com. I would love for you to listen in. Love to have you. Gospel artists, writers, promoters, actors, actresses, anyone with a positive message, please, Facebook Alfreda Love, or you can email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. In addition to that, be sure that you continue to pray for your family members. When you pray for your family members, put them all in one line and pray for them one by one. And do not forget to pray for yourself. Be very specific and pray for those you know and those you do not know, because the prayer of the righteous availeth much. I want to say this. God continues to put this on my mind. Okay? I want you to remember that God says 40-40. I want you to remember to continue to treat every person in your path right. It does not matter if you've already done it. God says we must repent. We must forgive, he says, and we must set right. I'm going to tell you this as the Lord is speaking. God says he will allow us to establish whatever we want to establish. He says, but he guarantees that when we establish it and it's not decent and in order and it's not done in the right manner and it's not of God, he says it will be destroyed. That is the word of God, Jehovah. That is the revelation. I want you to understand this very clearly. We have 40 days and 40 nights, God says. He says 40 days and 40 nights. When is that? Where is that? What is that? Don't know. Is it consecutive? Is it every other day? When is it? We don't know. But God says we need to get it right, okay? So when you look at this, God says, he's showing a picture because I have kids on the line. Amen. All right. Do you remember the story of the rabbit and the tortoise? You remember the rabbit is perceived to be the quickest out of the rabbit and the tortoise. Right? So the rabbit is resting, and the tortoise, who is slow, right, starts off, and they're laughing because they're ahead. You know, we got what we want. We're doing what we want. All of a sudden, at the finish line, the tortoise wins. God says righteousness will always win out. He says it may be a slow process. He says it may be a slow move, but righteousness will always win out. And he talks about Israel. He keeps mentioning Israel. He keeps mentioning, he says, they have set their own agendas. Who is they? I don't know. But make sure that we're right. Make sure that we're right. The ones on AfridaLoveShow.com, Stellar Gospel, make sure that we're doing what's right. Make sure that we're treating people right. He says, it will go through. He says, everything that is done that is not right, it will go through. It will go through. It will happen. He says, but when it does, he says, it's going to be so just chaotic. It's not going to work because it wasn't done decent and in order, and it's not of his righteousness. So what I want is I don't want anybody to experience that. And he says 40-40, right? He said there were some things that the revelation that wasn't done right. There were some things that God is not pleased with. And he says 40-40, 40 days and 40 nights. And he says everything that was wrong will go through. It will succeed and go through. It will pass through. He talks about, listen to me closely. You remember on last night, and I wasn't even expecting this. You remember on last night when we talked about our hearts, we talked about the seven components in order to get in, right, in order to get in to Jehovah, to get into the Master. He talked about those seven components. Well, he says that people are entering. They think they're entering into the right path. They think they're entering into the gates of hell. He says you're supposed to enter to the gates with his courts with praise. But people are making decisions. People are doing things from their own agendas. And he said it will go through. It will go, it will come to pass. People will actually be able to do and say whatever they want to for a moment. God speaking. He says for a moment. He says, but when it's time for the show, when it's time to perform, he says everything will be chaotic. Why? Because we didn't do it decently and in order, and we didn't do it right. He says there were some things, circumstances. It looks like it does look like a tornado. God is showing that. He says it's all, he's going to stir it up. He says he's going to shake a lot of things. He says because people have brought their own agendas instead of bringing righteousness. He says you don't have to go to every place and talk about Jehovah and talk about God in order to display righteousness. He said you need to do things decent and in order. He says, and because it wasn't, nothing will prosper. And he says he's not talking about the atmosphere. He says he's talking about in general. He says he's talking about what's going to happen in the daily task of things. He says it's going to all be destroyed. Does that mean that you fear? No. That means you just continue to do what's right. Carry on. Don't worry about it. This is just something from the Lord. He says, yes. He says people are going to be happy because their own agendas have been set. So they think. He says, because this is earth. He says, but it's not going to pass in righteousness. And everything that is touched, everything that is done will be chaotic. It won't work. He says, because we've cast out. He talks about cast. He said, we've cast out people, innocent people. We've cast out different things, and we brought our own agendas. He says, we have brought our own agendas to the table. Our own agendas have passed through. Amen. And he says they're going to remain. He says, but when it's time for performance, when it's time for the show, when it's time for whatever it is, he says it's not going to prosper. Why? Because we didn't do it right. It's not decent and it's not in order. He calls it chaos. Mass chaos. He says you have removed righteousness and you've brought in your own agendas. And because of that, nothing shall last. He says everything that you do for Christ will last. He says they have set their own agendas. And I think about it, I said, oh Lord, did I set my own agenda? No. And I don't want to set my own agenda. Amen. Praise God. I want to do it right. I want to do it the right way. I want to do it the honest way. I want to do it God's way. And God is saying, he says, they're not doing it the righteous way. And he's talking about from a wide spectrum. He says from saints to sinners, it's just not right. But your task is not to go spying and seeing what's not right. It's to keep living and make sure that you don't fall into what's not right. But our job is to pray because nobody wants to experience that. I don't want anybody to experience that. But God is not pleased, he says, because they have said. Who is, I don't know. God hasn't shown me that. I'm going to be very honest with you. I don't know. I have no idea who they are. I have no idea. They have set their own agendas. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you now, and I keep saying it, and I'm just being obedient to God. When we try to set our own agendas, it doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter where we come from. It never works. God says, and I'm going to tell you, don't think, oh, I was done wrong. No, you wasn't. No. Let God handle it. But no, there's no buts. God will take care of it. He knows all. Jehovah will take care of it. He knows all. He sees all. Just move on. And God says it's a blessing in disguise. And so by you being at war. We talked about that. Because you feel like somebody did you wrong. And maybe that is the case. God says keep going because they have set whoever they are. And I'm speaking directly. They have set their own agendas. And because they have taken what they believe to be power and utilized it in a way in which they could set their own agendas, God says everything, when it's set in place, will be destroyed. It will be total chaos. And this is the part where the Christians want to intercede. We want to be intercessory. We want to pray. And God says, you can pray. Continue to pray. He says, but nothing shall stop my power. And that's what God is talking about, because I didn't understand it at first. He says, everything, this is a season where you can basically set your own agendas. God says he's going to allow that because he wants to see who's for righteousness. Set your own agendas. Use your power. And God says when you have it all set up so you think, he says it will fall because it wasn't done decent, it wasn't done in order. And you move righteousness, and you set your own agenda for your own desires. That it, he says, from top to bottom. He says, from those who decide to those who actually come. He says, it will be total chaos from this day forth. He said, from henceforth, excuse me. So, yes, everything is going to be set in place. Because we've set our own agendas. This is what thus says the Lord. And this is the thinking of those who have said, we have set our own agendas. We have it. This is exactly what we want. And God says he's going to sit there and he's going to let it go on. He's going to allow it. And you're going to be so just upset. Man, this is not right. They didn't do it right. And you're going to be at war. And you're going to be too busy warring in your heart because you're saying, I wasn't treated right. It's not fair. And God is like, I have this. And when it's time to set up, God says, he says, nothing shall prosper, says the Lord, says Jehovah. And that's not to scare anybody. That's just for us to think about it and get it right. God is between us. Between us, y'all. God says that we've disenfranchised people. We've cast people out. We've lied on people. We've manipulated. We've been intimidated by people, so we cast them out. That's what the revelation is saying. He says, but go. He says, for his coming is quickly approaching. And he shows this as I'm speaking. He shows a chess game. And he says, every move is strategic. He says, because I'm getting ready to show my power to the people. And so if you're part of this chess game and you happen to be one of those who are out there, God says that's a good thing. Because when he comes in, he says nothing shall last. I'm going to share this with you without telling you too much. God is showing me a vision of this man. And he says this man was on a road. And as usual, the road is not going to be easy. There are going to be some bumps in the road. There's going to be some imperfections, he says, but there still is this man who is on the road. And he goes to this place, this familiar place, God is speaking, that he knows and he serves and he's revered by all, God says. And at this particular place he's revered at, all of a sudden, he disappears. Well, he's not a ghost, the people say. Where did he go? And he's cast away. Nobody knows where this man went. We have no idea. All we know is that the people love this man, and he served, and he did what he's supposed to do. Where is he? He's cast away. And God shows, a couple of seconds later, he shows destruction. And he says, I rapture my own in order to save them from destruction. I rapture my own in order to save them from destruction. So don't force anything that's not supposed to be there. That means that God could be saving you from something. Everything that happens, happens for a reason, right? And you have to be ready. And I'm not just saying this. Every time God puts it on my heart, I say it because I want to save another person. I want to save another person. I want you to read about the rapture. God talks about the rapture. And sometimes you have no idea, Lord, why? He says, I'm saving you from my destruction that is coming. Tables are going to turn. He says, people are setting their own agendas, and they're not thinking about righteousness, utilizing power that was only granted by people but not by God. And so he says it's good for whatever happened to happen, for you were uprooted. That's a good thing. But then I don't want anybody to experience your wrath. And God says, be not like the woman who looked back, right? The woman who, she was running, and she looked back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. He says, be not like her. He says, keep moving. You're doing good. He says, I am well pleased with you. He says, I am the shepherd. You shall not want. Yeah, you. I am your shepherd. I am Jehovah. You shall not want. Amen? God says, order your steps according to the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, because I want to encourage you. Yes, everybody's agenda is going through. It's going to pass through. This is a season where people say, I want this. It's going to happen. But God says, once it's time, he says it's going to be destroyed. Why would you do that, Lord? Why would you allow people or give people this false impression? And that's why that kept coming to mind when we were studying on our blog. He said, why would you allow people to have a false impression? And God says, that was not of me, that was of Satan. So therefore, what you see is not really what is. He says, but you, yes, you, yes, you who are listening, continue to move forward. And don't look back. Do not set your own agenda. Whatever you do, do it for Christ. Do it in righteousness. God says 40-40. 40 days and 40 nights. And I'm going to be very honest with you. He speaks destruction. He says because they have set their own agendas. Who are they? I don't know. I don't want to be part of they. I'm serious. I do not want God, Jehovah, I do not want God to be mad, upset with me for nothing. But some things we don't understand. And God says it's going to be a time when everything's going to go through. All this unrighteousness. He's going to let it go. He said all that stuff, he sees it. He sees everything. He's just letting it build up, letting it go through. He says, but when his power comes, he says, nothing shall be standing. 40 days, 40 nights. And he's showing me a vision. He keeps talking about a man. He shows me this vision of this. And he speaks 40 days and 40 nights. For when you cast this one, he showed me that vision. He says, you also cast me. That is from God. You have set your own agendas, and now it is time for your agendas to be destroyed. think of agendas, I'm thinking of agenda as in paper agenda. God saying this is organization. He says this is structures within the church. This is structures within your particular career fields. This is structures within different services and boards that we serve. You got to be careful. God is speaking the revelation. I mean, it's plain as day. There is no timidness to it. It's bold. God is very bold. And so he says, everything that they want shall go through, but my power will destroy it. And this is the part, as I said before, where we want to say, but I want to intercede. I don't want, and here you go again, I don't want anybody to experience your wrath. Everybody that I know, and the way I can get it out is on this particular ministry. I don't go around just telling everything like that. But on this ministry, whoever's supposed to hear it can hear it. But God says that everything shall be destroyed. And we think about tornadoes and earthquakes. He says it won't be any of that. He says that will be total chaos. So let's think positive. From this day forth, get it right. Your own agendas, you may want to do away with them, and you may want to seek God. I don't know. If, for some reason, God has planted you, uprooted you, thank God. Bless God for that. Because he says destruction is coming. And I take God very seriously. Take Jehovah very seriously. And everything, every type of revelation that comes through, it is serious business. And so, be not dismayed of what may betide. Do not interrupt your day being afraid, being scared. Do not get off your A-game wherever you are. Continue. God says, I'm always going to take care of you. Why? Because you belong to me. Always, no matter what. He says, the wind may come and blow. The tornadoes may come, the thunderstorms, the sunshine, whatever it is, may come your way. But you're going to still be standing. And I am, since I am your shepherd and your father, you shall not want. And you believe God, believe Jehovah, and you trust because it's true. And so if you're worried about the revelation, and I told you that this is an uplifting and powerful show, but every now and then I have to tell you what God is commanding me to tell you. And that is, count your blessings one by one. If God transitioned you, if God moved you, whatever he did, thank him. But you must understand that we have to do, the Lord says. I want to read, and I'm going to tell you, you know, I read both the Watchtower and I read the Bible. And I want to read this real quick as the Lord is showing me. It says, Jehovah God is my shepherd, so why should I fear or fret? I like the words that they use because they're so strong. I love the Bible words too, but this particular, and I have to be honest, it's strong words. Jehovah God is my shepherd, so why should I fear or fret? We just talked about that. For he who cares for his sheep so much will none of his own forget. He will not forget you. Why are you worried about if they did you wrong or if they didn't? God says, I will not forget. He says, By quiet waters he leads me. You notice it's quiet waters. It's not rapid moving wind waters and all this, a bunch of noise. Quiet waters he leads me. My soul does restore and bless. He guides my steps for his own namesake in paths of righteousness. He guides my steps for his own namesake in paths. That's double. That's two times. Alone in depths of deep shadow, I walk, yet I fear no harm. For my great shepherd is always near. His staff keeps me from alarm. My head with oil he refreshes. Even the Jehovah's Witnesses believe in the holy oil, and so do I. My cup he has filled up well. Yes, he has. His loving kindness will follow me. And there in his house I dwell. His loving kindness will follow me, and there in his house I'll dwell. That's an emphasis. Amen. It's an emphasis. And this is Psalm 23. Jehovah is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Allah is my shepherd. We're talking about the same people. We're talking about the same person. We just have different rituals and different ways of doing things. But we're talking about the same Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't want you to get afraid, become afraid. You know, I don't want you to do that. God talks about, as I said before, he says, because they have set their own agendas. He says everything, and I'm telling you, everything. You will hear about it. Everything, good, bad, otherwise, will go through. Every single thing. But God says, because it's their agendas and not mine, which is righteousness, it shall be destroyed. And he goes on to say, only what you do for Christ will last. If you do it for yourself, it's not going to last. Only what we do for Christ, only what we do for Jehovah, only what we do for Allah will last. That's it. Otherwise, it won't. It will not last. And we have to remember that. We have to think about those particular aspects. So don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed when you say, oh, that was wrong. It probably was. It probably was. But when God comes in, there is no intercessories, y'all. There's nobody who can stand in the gap. He says it's just like life and death. When it's your time, it's your time. Amen. He said, you got to go. My grandfather, I said this before. He said, you may be high, you may be low, you may be rich, you may be poor. He says, but when God gets ready for you, he says, you got to move. That means we have to go up back to the dirt, back to hell. Amen. Amen. It doesn't matter. And so God says that, yeah, he says everybody's agenda is on the table. He says, but none of them, no, not one, shall last. That's the word of God, y'all. He says, because they cast out. He keeps showing me this man. He said they've cast him away. From where my grace has placed him. He says they've cast her away from where my grace and my gifts. No idea. Don't ask me. I don't know. I'm just being real with you. I have no idea. But I do know. I do know that we serve a good God. I do know that we serve Jehovah Jireh El Shaddai Elohim. But I do know this, y'all. Once again, God is not pleased when we bring our own agendas. But guess what? Everything looks good now because everybody's agendas are set. So everybody's at peace because everybody's agendas are on the table. God says it's quiet. He says, and those who are cast away, he says, they're at peace because God says that I, Jehovah says, I have given them on purpose. He says, because when my rapture comes, it shall be 40-40, and none of their agendas shall stand. And he talks about, this is the last part, and I can't tell you the rest. He talks about when we go before God. He says, and either he says, depart from me, for I never knew you, or he says, well done. And he says, every person who has placed an agenda, created their own agenda under the auspices of righteousness when it's not, it shall burn and cast away. That is the prophecy, the revelation of God. This is not anything that is made up. This is not anything that is I'm reading from. This is the revelation of God. It's not to scare anybody. God never tries to scare anybody, but this is the truth. And he keeps showing this man. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I can't see this man, but there is a vision. And he says, you have cast him away because you had your own agenda. You have cast her away because you have set your own agenda. And those agendas, God says he allowed them to go through each and every one of them for his power will supersede and destroy them all. 40-40. It has nothing to do with the atmosphere. It has everything to do with peace that God was talking about that you have in your hearts. He says it will always be, your heart will always be at war. It will never be at peace. And God says that's a promise. So, I'm telling you, the AfreedomLoveShow.com, do what's right. Because you can't sleep. You can't even think when you're not at peace. If you've done something that is just a little overboard, get it right with God first. Although God says get it right with whoever it is. But you got to go to God first in order to understand how to go to people. And some people have so much pride that they won't. They would rather be destroyed. They would rather for whatever it is, whether it's a business organization, whether it's their home, whatever, they would rather for that to be destroyed with chaos and warring than for them to have peace by just simply saying, I'm sorry, that was a mistake. I'm sorry, we took that way out of context. Or, that's not how we should have done that. That wasn't done decent and in order. But people would rather swallow their pride and whatever they put their hands on be destroyed than to humble themselves and say, I made a mistake. That's just a human beast. So, what God was talking about when he said nobody will be able to intercede, right? I was listening in church. And God has we learned that God has the capacity to change his mind. And one of the things that God has promised is that he is the head and the tail. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And he's promised that his will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. He also promised that things will be done decent and in order, whether through destruction or otherwise. So I tell you that just for an FYI. So, yes, everything that the devil has said, every agenda will go through, every single agenda, everything will go mass destruction. And it's not by the weather. It's by the will of God. And it's by his own doing. He says your hearts will always be at war. And you will seek peace but shall not find it, because this is your own doing. Mine. And from there, we hear nothing else from Jehovah, nothing else from God, nothing else from Allah. Because you have set your own agenda, this is yours. And God says, not mine. In other words, this is your will, not mine. This is your desire, not mine. And God says, nothing that is not of him will last. That's deep. So, do not fret and say, well, I was done this. It doesn't matter now, because God's going to fix all of that. But you count your blessings one by one, because God is saving you from something. When he told Noah, he says, Noah, I want you to build that ark. He told Noah that. Everybody just laughs. Why in the world is Noah building the ark? I don't see any signs of a storm. I don't see any signs of anything. But here Noah is building this big country ark. And all of a sudden, here comes the storm. Here comes the flood. And guess who was saved? Nobody but Noah and his family. All those other people who were laughing and giggling and all that stuff, they were cast away. So we have to be careful. And we have to listen to God and stop being hard-headed. We have to stop feeling, woe is me. The world's going to do what they want to do. They're going to say what they want to say. They're going to believe what they want to believe. We already know that. We share our story everywhere we go. But as long as God knows, God's going to make a way regardless. He says, I am your shepherd. Who is my shepherd? The Lord, Jehovah, El Shaddai, Elohim, Yahweh. You. Who? You. Say your name. You shall not want. Amen. And so, therefore, you have to continue to trust in God with all of your heart. And I mean all of your heart. Don't just trust in God on Fridays. Trust in God with all your heart. But I cannot reiterate this enough, because God continues to say it, and I'm going to bid you a great evening. Do it God's way. Do not be discouraged about what you see, about what's going on, about what happened, about people's agendas getting accepted. Do not be discouraged. But also don't be jovial and joyful for the coming of God. Do not be jovial and joyful because of the revelation of God. And because you know that God is not pleased, do not be happy at somebody else's demise. Because guess what? Yours is going to be double. And so at this time, we can't be intercessors. We can't get in the middle and say, God, stop. But we can pray. We can pray. Because God said this is his will. And God says when it's his will, it will happen. He says, but because it is, these agendas are your will, you have said this, it will not prosper. God says, only mine. He said, this is what you want. This is what you desire. But it shall not last. And that's what God says. So, you don't sit. We talked about that. You don't just stay down and fall down and bust out in tears because of this world and because of what the world does. You get up and you go another way and you be successful. Either you're going to be successful or you're going to be great. Those are your only two options every single day. If you have a challenge, so be it. Nobody's perfect. Get up and keep moving. God says, I am your shepherd. You shall not want. And we believe that. Don't be discouraged. Help is on the way. God is on the way. But we're not praying to God that things like that happen. That's the will of God. That's the revelation. That's the promise of God. And we talked about this, y'all. And when I heard that, when I was listening to the study, that God changes his mind. God says when he makes a promise, he keeps it. I've been telling you for a couple of weeks now, God is coming, God is coming, God is coming in his own time. 40 days, 40 nights. And now we have a little bit of the revelation of why. We have a little bit of the revelation of what's going to occur. So therefore we can pray. But God says nothing will be able to stop him. Talk about the Lord changing his mind. As the Lord is speaking, and I totally agree with that. But God says when he promises something, when he promises his coming, when he promises a famine, when he promises desertion, he says it shall come to pass because it's a promise. God is not a man that he should lie, and that's in the Bible. When we talk about the Lord changing things, God says he changes our thinking. He changes our hearts, but he does not change his mind. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what has happened in your life, no matter what downfall, God says he has not changed his mind about you. He still loves you. You're still his sheep. He is your shepherd. He says what he changes is he changes our disposition. He changes our thinking. God says he is the type, Jehovah is the type that will remain constant. He doesn't change. He says he changes us. And because he changes us, he helps us to acclimate ourselves to the environment. I want to get that straight. Because God, we don't have a wishy-washy God. God said, well, I think I'll wake up so-and-so this morning. I changed my mind. Forget that. You're going to die tonight. I'm not waking you up. Nope. That's not the type of God that I serve. That's not the type of God God wants to be personified as. He says, I am God, and you are my people. He says, I don't change. He says, my favor, grace, and mercy is given. He says, you bring things unto me, and my favor, grace, and mercy changes those things. We give God a mistake. We give God a mishaps. He says, my favor, grace, and mercy changes that. He says, but I don't change my mind about you. I don't say, when I see you sleeping, let me think about this. Now, yesterday you did this, so I'm going to sit here and think about if I'm going to wake you up. God said, it's already planned. God says, I already knew this was going to happen before it did. Why? Because I'm your father. He says, that's why I said I have plans for you to prosper. That's why we're taking these paths. But God doesn't change his mind. He changes our direction. He changes our thinking. He changes our disposition. God says he elevates us. He changes the situation. He said what was meant to destroy you, he says, is actually going to elevate you higher than you ever imagined. But he don't change. When I go to sleep tonight, God's will, I'm going to wake up and it's going to be the same God that I'm serving right now. Same Jehovah, same God, El Shaddai, Elohim. The only thing that changes are people. That's what God said. He said he don't change. So when we talk about the disposition of the mind, God says he already know. Anybody who know how many hairs we have on our head, he already knows. So he's not that type of God that's wishy-washy. I think I'm going to wake you up. I know what you did today. So maybe I'll wake you up. Maybe I won't. Now, God already know. When we lay down, God already know if he's going to get us up or not. He already know that. We don't know that. God already knows. When God blesses us to wake up in the morning, God's will, he already knows how our whole day is going to go. That's why we supposed to set the atmosphere in order to help make it even greater. God says, I have plans for you. None of these plans say that you should have a bad day. All of these plans right here say you should have a good day. He says, but what people are doing is they're bringing in their own agendas. They're allowing Satan to come in the door. And that's how people are having bad days. That's why it's so much chaos. That's why people are always at war. That's why people can never rest. That's why everything people touch, it won't succeed, because they're bringing in their own agendas. Whatever happened to righteousness? Whatever happened to forgiveness? Oh, we don't believe in that anymore. Oh, we all perfect. No, you're not. You've sinned and fallen short, and just like everybody else. Yes. But you, from this point, you have to be you. Yes. You have to encourage yourself. You have to stay lifted. I was telling somebody today, I said, you have to stay lifted. God is showing me truth. You can't expect cheerleaders all the time to lift you up. Sometimes you're going to have to use your energy, because they may be weak. Sometimes you're going to have to use your energy and help them lift you up. You can't put all your dead weight on somebody else. You're going to have to lift yourself up. You're going to have to encourage yourself sometimes. We got to take the initiative. And that's motivation. We have to do right by people. It's a must. We already see this right here. Jesus says, what? Because you set your own, he says, nothing shall prosper with total chaos. You will always be at war, your heart. You're happy, yeah. You got everything you want. You've completed the task. You completed what you wanted to complete. But you forgot about my favor, grace, and mercy that I showed towards you. You forgot about your own shortcomings. You forgot. But we're going to allow all of this. And we wonder, Lord, what in the world is going on? God says, let it go through. And God says that nothing. There will always be a war. 40 days, 40 nights. It's not. I don't know if everybody. You're not going to have fun. So that's what I'm saying. So on a positive note, live your life. Don't worry about what we discussed about the revelation. God says, he says, carry on just as I had said nothing. But make sure that you're doing what's right, treating people right. Make sure that whatever you do, put Jehovah first, put God first. Whatever decision you make, you're going to have a lot of decisions to make. God is going to bless real good. God says, thank him. Sometimes God is rescuing us. But we see, we want to stay in the water. God said, now, you want to come out of the water. I'm trying to rescue you. Do you see where I'm trying to take you? Do you see what path I'm trying to put you on? No, but follow me. God talks about, and this is the last one that God is bringing, Jehovah is bringing this to me. He talks about the fishermen. And this is what he talks about. He says, those men, they were used to fishing. They were used to fishing. That was what they did. They were used to sitting there. They were used to being there. It was familiar. But God says, follow me. I will make you fishermen. I will make you fishers of men. In other words, I will teach you how to do it. And when we follow Jesus, right, those fishermen, they didn't ask, oh, Lord, they didn't cry, Lord, I don't want to. They didn't do all that. No. Okay. All right. But then you think about it in the backside. Jesus called them. And when Jesus is calling, you got to go. You got to answer. Just like when death is calling, you can't say, hold up, wait a minute. Wait, hold it up. I got to tell everybody bye. Wait a minute. You can't do all that. You're going to have to go. You understand? Life is real, y'all. We have to live and enjoy life. Don't worry about if people have their agenda set and you can't. Don't worry about all that. It doesn't even matter, because only what we do for Christ will last. And God says, I am your shepherd, you shall not want. And when God says that, it's a promise. He don't change his mind about that. Right? He does not change his mind about that. God does not change his mind. God changes situations. He changes thinking. He changes people. He don't change his mind, because God already knows what he's going to do. God doesn't change his mind. And this is the revelation of God. I don't want you to think that God changes his mind, because he doesn't. He changes situations. He changes people's hearts. He changes their minds, because some people are composed of Satan. And so he has to change us. He talks about life and death. He talks about when we go back to the grave and how we're changed. He talks about when Saul was on that Damascus road and he changed him. God does that. That's the only changing that occurs. God says he's not, he says either you're hot or cold. He said he's not in between. It's either or. God doesn't change his mind about blessing you. He doesn't change his mind about loving you. He doesn't change his mind about you following him. God didn't change his mind about his disciples. He knew one of his disciples was crooked. He knew one of his disciples wasn't right. But did God kick his disciple out of that group? No. He could have. Anybody else would have. But God says no. He says, I already know. You're going to deny me 3 times. No, we're not going to do that. No, we with you. They denied Jesus. Jesus didn't say, forget that. You can't be my disciple no more. No. They were still hanging with Jesus. When he went to the cross, none of those disciples hung up on the cross with Jesus. No. God didn't do that. That's not how he works. God said he don't change. He said, well, only we do. We do. God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So, no, God doesn't change. If God loved you from day one, he still loves you. If you feel like that you're not close to God, it's because you left God. God didn't leave you. You left God. If you feel like you're being crucified, you probably are. But guess what? That's part of being a Christian. If you feel like you've been done wrong, then guess what? God's going to take care of it. That's part of being a Christian. That's part of signing up and saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. You know what I'm saying? Some people sign up and they say, forget this. I'm going back to the world. But if you're a true believer, you're going to hang in there no matter what. When the going gets tough, you're going to hang in there because you know the Lord is your shepherd and you shall not want. And you know when one door closed, you know that 10 more are open. And so we got to trust in God and stop being despondent. We got to use these things to motivate us instead of to cast us down, make us feel all bad and woe is me. No, it's no woe is me. I serve a true and living God. I know who I belong to. It's no woe is me. But God says at the end, everybody's going to say, oh, Lord. And everybody's going to come to God. Why? Because we didn't do things right in the first place. But that's no reason for us to be jolly and jubilant because the Lord has promised that he's coming and he's already told us what he's going to do. He says nothing shall last. It will always be warring. There will not be any peace. People will seek peace, but there will not be. And that is not a place where we just laugh. You're going to be foregone. You're going to be elevated. You're going to be in a good place. And if you look back, you're going to become a pillar of salt like that woman did. He said, move forward. That's okay. It's okay. They've all set their own agendas. Let them, says the Lord, says Jehovah. That's life. He says, but none of that's going to last. It's going to be a war, he says, of the hearts, always. So you don't go against the force of God. Let it be. Stop going around, oh, woe is me. Feeling sorry for yourself, feeling sad for yourself. Don't do that. You got to keep being lifted. I was telling somebody that today. You have to continue to encourage yourself and lift yourself up, whatever it takes. God is saving you from something. He's delivering you from something. And so whatever goes, whatever comes, hallelujah anyhow, in Jesus' name. Because you're going to be taken care of. By who? By your Father in heaven. So you have to just keep going. Because I had a lot of questions about that, and I had to break it down. God doesn't change. I just want you to know he doesn't change his mind. When I go to sleep tonight, God already knows if I'm going to wake up or not. He already knows that. When you go to sleep tonight, God already knows if you're going to wake up or not. He's not going to change his mind. He's not going to say, you've been just terrible today. And so I'm not waking you up. You're going to stay asleep eternally. No, that's not the type of God we serve. God's not going to say, well, you did this, this, and this. And so I'm not going to bless you anymore. That's us. That's not God. God says, my favor, grace, and mercy is going to bring you out of that thing. It's going to elevate you. That's what God is saying. He doesn't change his mind. He changes our minds. He changes our hearts. God is a consistent God. We the ones that change. Life and death. God doesn't die, we die. He already died. We die. He said there's a change. You heard Sister Tremaine Hawkins, she said a change has come over me. We change. Jehovah don't change. God doesn't change. He hasn't changed in decades. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that God changes. He changes things. He changes situations. He changes people. He changes the weather. He changes night to day. Amen. That's what the Lord changes. He don't change his mind. When you go to sleep, God already knows if you're going to wake up or not. When you go in the hospital, God already knows if you're going to be healed or not. Amen. When something happens, God already knows what's going to happen. He already knows. God's not going to change his mind. We the ones that need to be changed. We the ones that need to be healed and delivered and set free, not God. So, no, God doesn't change his mind. And God is, that's the revelation speaking. We change, not God. Amen? Amen. God already knows. He said, that's why he said, I already have plans. God is not a Johnny on the spot. He already knows what's going to happen. He's a prophet within himself. He already knows what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen. He already knows that. Amen. He already knows that. So, no, he's not going to change his mind. You know, God already know. At 120, we got to go. Amen. We got to get out of here. 120 years old. Praise the Lord. He already know that. Amen. Amen. So I don't want y'all to be afraid. Don't be dismayed. That's a little prophecy revelation, amen, from the Lord. And we're going to have a good week. I know the week is almost over, but God said the best is yet to come. He says your blessing's on the way. Some of them are already here. We thank God for the good news. We thank God for his glory. Amen. So, I didn't know that all that was going to happen. I didn't even know that the Lord was going to speak on that. But this is not a season or time to become scared. The earth is not going to end. But Jesus Christ come. He says, and everything is set in place. He said, that's good. He says, but none of those agendas will last. They will be destroyed. It will be warring, and there will be no peace. Let us pray for whatever situation that is, whatever, wherever that is. Let us pray. He says multiple. He talks about multitudes. Let us pray for the multitudes. Let us pray for the multiples. Because we need to be intercessories. We can't stop God. God already said that. We cannot stop God. Right? When God promised something, and it says it in the Bible, he is not a man that he should lie. When Jehovah God promised something, it's going to happen. He says, I have plans for you, but you also have to have plans for yourself too in the will of God for prosperity. Now, if you're thinking, oh, woe is me, I can't do it, is your heart beating? If your heart is beating, you can do it. You can do it. This is a time of encouragement. God is going to bring some good news as early as tomorrow. And you know what? I don't want you to thank this ministry. I want you to thank God. Because it's not this ministry that's keeping you coming. It's God who's keeping you coming. I'm just overseeing this ministry. I'm just giving the word of God as God has given it to me. If God didn't give it to me, I wouldn't have it. Amen. So when God brings you the good news, when God brings you the glory, I want you to thank God. Thank Jehovah. Don't thank me. Don't tell me. I don't want to know, because that's between you and God. Because God said that's the favor. He said you didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve the favor of God, but you received it. And I want you to thank God in advance. God says he's going to establish you. God talks about, he says, yes. He says you're going to rise. He says, fret not when you are on earth in the dirt. For you shall rise like your father, and you shall rise with much power. Yes. Then God goes on and he says, let them glorify for what has been done. For weeping may endure for a night. He says, but joy comes in the morning for all who laugh shall themselves cry. You don't need to be worried about, and I don't know who I'm talking to, you're still on the line, that's good. You don't need to be worried about what's going on around you in the chitter chatter. You need to be focused on God, because he is the one, and he's going to show us he's the one. And yes, I'm just going to be honest with you. Everything, everybody's agenda is going to be accepted. Every single person. But every agenda shall be destroyed likewise. 40 days and 40 nights. Warring, and there shall be no peace. I'm going to say this again. Do not seek joy in someone else's demise. Do not seek joy over your enemies, and you shouldn't have any. We should love our neighbors ourselves. Do not seek joy over this, because you have heard the revelation and prophecy and what is to come. That is not your, this is a test for you as well. Are you going to pray? Or are you going to anticipate the demise of somebody else? Jehovah says pray. God says pray. For the prayer of the righteous availeth much. And so we're praying. And you have that particular strong thing that you are praying for. Whatever that is. And we all have a strong thing that we're praying for. And God is going to deliver. But I want you, when you get this good news on tomorrow, and this is prophetically, everybody who's listening to that freedomloveshow.com, God speaks seven. The number seven, yes, Lord. I don't want you to tell me, because I don't have to prove anything to you as far as what Jehovah, God, I don't have to prove anything to you about the revelation. The revelation is going to speak for itself when it happens. I want you to pray to God and get a close relationship to God. That's the thank you that this ministry wants. You get closer to God, and you listen to God. People say, well, God doesn't talk to me. Well, maybe because you don't listen. People always say, I hear people, pastors say, well, God said that to you, but he didn't say it to me. Maybe you're not listening. Maybe you're talking all the time and not listening to Jehovah. Maybe you're talking all the time and not listening to God. God speaks to everybody, but he just gifts some people with certain things. Do more listening than talking so much. And maybe God starts speaking over your life. And it is true. Maybe God is speaking to a minister, to a prophet, to an apostle, to a bishop concerning you. Maybe so. And because you have a connection with that person, God is speaking to you so you can go tell them. Because they're not listening, hard-headed. Talk too much in other people's business, worried about the Joneses and the Smiths instead of worried about themselves. Listen to the voice. Okay. Now, we had a good discussion, and I want you guys, it's 350 people on here. Nobody's saying a word. Everybody's listening. And I'm getting some inboxes. I'm getting some text messages. I want y'all to be more vocal. I know that out of all these 350 people, and some of y'all in the media all the time, y'all are not this quiet. I know for a fact some of my co-hosts is on here, some of these individuals, at least 10 or 15 of y'all, we talk all the time. You're very verbal in everything. And I know that you like to listen to the ministry, you like to listen to the word of God. But if you have some comments, if you would like to say something, then please do so. That's what this ministry is about. It's about sharing. It's about speaking the word of God, speaking the word of Jehovah. Guess what? We have so many denominations and languages on here. and religions, that we respect all religions. We respect all denominations. Now, as long as the beliefs aren't biased or offensive to someone or talking about someone, we accept those. And so, I mean, there's 300-some individuals on here. And anytime you want to chime in, do so. We want to pray for our bereaved families. We want to pray for those who are going through. You know, we want to pray for everybody. We want to pray for our youth especially. And we want our youth to be prosperous. We want to pray for our senior citizens, y'all. Bless their hearts. And this is another thing that we was talking about. I'm almost finished, but I got to be obedient to God. We need to really pray. The two groups that we really need to pray for is our youth and our seniors. We need to pray for our youth because of all the things that they have to go through, peer pressure, all these things is out there for them that wasn't out there when we were coming up. Okay, we need to pray for our seniors because I was speaking to someone, and I said at some point in our lives, at some point when we get to be much more seasoned, I said we just want to enjoy life. Just let us enjoy life, you know. We just want to enjoy life, and I want to help form a way where when we become seniors, and I'm not talking about seniors in high school, y'all, I'm talking about seniors, seasoned individuals, that we have things set up where we can enjoy our lives. Some people will live to be 100, 115. We need stuff to do for them. We need to keep them active. We need to, you know, we just need to live and have fun, basically. Nothing should be stressful. Absolutely nothing. Seriously. I mean, you know, nothing should be stressful. Absolutely nothing should be stressful. We should all just have a good time, you know. Years, I want to have a good time. Enjoy life. You know, and 120, got to get out of here. That's enough. Amen. Amen. So, once again, thank y'all so much for listening to that freedomloveshow.com, stellargospelmusic.com, where Jesus shines with love. On tomorrow, God's will, we will have our billboard. We will have a special prayer for the bereaved families. We're going to pray for our youth again. I hear many things in the paper and all over, and God is speaking, Jehovah is speaking, that we need to pray for our youth. We need to pray for those who care for our youth as well. We need to set up some networks and organizations with individuals who love to help our youth genuinely. And so on tomorrow, come back because we're going to have our top 15 billboards. If someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up because God is love. Until next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. This is your host, Dr. Alfreda. Love.
Oh, yeah. You have been tuned in to the finest talk show ministry on the internet. The Love Lift Up Jesus Ministry. Featuring your host, Dr. Alfreda. Love, reminding you to be diligent in your prayer as you pray for someone this week. We say goodbye as we depart from the airwaves, but reminding you that we never, ever depart from the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is His Word. And on that, you can depend. Always remember that Jesus Christ has your back. And there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus.